fortunate I was to have had the opportunity to sit down with the legendary Gary Player. And to have sat down with him for 2 hours was just extraordinary. So I divided the interview into 6 segments, and in this second segment, he reveals how tough his childhood was. He shares his 4 keys to living well, his thoughts on his intense work ethic, how he met Vivian, his wife of 63 years, and the importance of having the right partner. Tell me about your life, your childhood.
Well, my father did that and loved golf and got me playing golf. Thank goodness. It's the only sport that really has longevity, and you can, you know, still derive an income at 84, which other sports it's hard to do. You finished in NFL, you finished after 3 or 4 years. Tom Brady, right. he's a genius. But and then my mother dies. When I was so fond of my mother, I adored her, dies at 9. Then my brother goes off to war, and I loved my brother. Then my sister's at boarding school. Then I go, see, South Africa have the best high schools in the world. You have a dress code. You stand up when the teacher comes in the classroom, you take your hat off, yes ma'am, yes sir. You say a prayer. How long that'll go on for, I don't know. You don't have to say a prayer of your religion. Just say a prayer of thanks. Just thank thee. Thank thee. But anyway, this has all been stopped. But anyway, and then I'm on my own, and it's an hour and a half to school, an hour and a half back. Streetcar and a bus and walk across town. You'd never let a child do that today. And I come into a dark house every night. I do my own cooking, my own washing of clothes, my own ironing, which was pathetic. I lie in bed every night of my life wishing that I was dead, crying. I can see it right now. It was terrible. Now, it's not as bad as some people have, but that's what made me a world champion. That's what put love in my heart. You see, there are 4 things to live well and to live long. But to get Americans and South Africans or people in the free world to do this is impossible. 1, eat half the amount that you eat. 2, double the amount of walking that you do. 3, treble the amount of laughter. Laughter is the best medicine and it's free. And 4, have tons of love in your heart. If you can live those 4 things, I think you live a long time. Because that incorporates a lot when it says, walk twice as much. That's saying basically exercise. Watch what you eat. It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than to get Americans to worry about diet, eating properly, not overeating, not exercising. More people are interested in the stock market and their business and their overweight and obesity. What we got to realize that obesity kills more people than the wars of the world.
Right.
We've got to, but the schools are not teaching the kids. When kids arrive at school, I'd love to have the money of Bill Gates and build my school. The first thing every child would do, he'd walk around the school grounds 3 times before he started work. He'd have his work at school, a recession, they'd walk around the school again 3 times. At home time, when you clock out, 3 times around the school and then go home. And I'd have classes, 1 class a week for every single student in that school. What you've got to eat to live
right.
well.
Proper nutrition, and they don't
nutrition
teach that.
And show them what happens with obesity. Diabetes, my one son is a type 1. He takes a needle 7 times a day, a long needle like that. Kids should be shown this. Get off all these stuff, in my opinion.
Right.
Donuts and white bread and bacon and sausages and excessive meat and drinking too much. That's only my opinion. I'm not saying that that's the answer. Because I don't want somebody to come back at me and tell me all kinds of stuff. That's my opinion, if you're allowed to have it.
Regular exercise and proper diet is so key. I know you once said the biggest technological advance in golf in the next 50 years won't be exercise or equipment, it will be nutrition.
It will be. Here's a book I'm reading now. First of all, I read
Eat to Beat Disease.
Yeah, Eat to Beat
the
Disease.
The new science of how your body can heal itself.
Yeah. Now, this is the interesting thing about this book. It tells you, for example, the foods that you must eat and what these foods are going to, every single page, there's something. Celery. It tells you about black raspberries. It tells you about foods that you must eat. It gives you every food and what that food does for you, so you understand what this food does for you. And there's also another book called The China Study, which has been phenomenal. It's changed people's lives. I've got a friend in in England right now. It's quite interesting. He's a very wealthy man, well known in the world. Johann Rupert, he sponsors the tournament there in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And he met Djokovic. And Djokovic says to him, he says, Johann, I'm going to win Wimbledon.
Novak Djokovic.
Yeah. So Johann says, oh, I'm not so sure about that. He says, Johann, if I win Wimbledon, will you go on a plant-based diet? Now, this is a guy that had meat every day of his life and was 40 pounds overweight. And he says, yes. He says, well, Djokovic says, I tell you what, when I win, I'm going to eat a piece of grass. So he took a piece of Wimbledon and ate it on Nash. People didn't see that. He ate it. And my friend, Johann Rupert, now went on this diet and has lost 45 pounds. And he says he's never felt so well in his
life.
Wow,
I remember when Djokovic went on that diet.
Overweight stops a train. If I had a child, and I'm a parent, the one thing I would do, I would really and truly study what to eat and not let them get overweight. Right. With this lockdown, I put on 5 pounds here.
So that's now, unlike you.
No, but it happens easy because right. I'm always up. I go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Right. I was going to ask you
about
your schedule.
I'm up at 6 o'clock, right, normally.
Right.
Even early on the farm, I'm up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to bed at 12 o'clock here. I'm watching TV, which I've never done in my life. And I woke up this morning at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. I mean, it's just absurd.
Normally, tell me about your exercise routine.
Well, normally, what I'm doing now, it's changed. But normally, I get up and I work on the farm and I go to the gym and I have I go for deep breathing, a lot of fresh air where my farm is. I have no pollution, which is vitally important to breathe. And I'd have the best foods, the berries and all the fruits and the water we had was something exceptional. To find good water is tough now. To find fresh air is tough. So it's a different way of life. You work at something in life, but what is the most valuable thing in your life? If you ask anybody, life. To be alive. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, God, for letting me be alive today to enjoy your wondrous works. Because last night, I don't know how many tens of thousands of the people of the world died. And tonight there'll be another 10,000 of people. Another day. But people just wake up, they think they're entitled to it, they overeat, and they die, and they die young.
That gratitude. Gratitude and attitude. Don't you think those are the two keys to life?
To happiness. Well, I gave you the things that I thought were four of the most essential ingredients. But how many people, one out of every three men will get cancer now? Look at this never happened when I was young. There's a reason why it's happening. And people, and we've got to educate the youth at schools. The schools are terrible. They've got to educate them on this. Now they'll turn around and say, well, that's not our job, it's the parental guidance. But the mothers and fathers, today if I have a child, which I love my children so much, they should be teaching them. I'm right there with my grandchildren. I'm telling them, I say, listen, you better not eat that. You better not eat that. They don't get very cross with me, but I try and play a role in it.
Let's talk about your work ethic. I know you wrote in 1991, your autobiography, in quotes, I'm an animal when it comes to achievement and wanting success. There's never enough success for me.
Great.
So my question to you is, that hunger came, obviously, from your youth, from this sadness that you had, right? Where did this work ethic, this hunger come from?
And I wouldn't say obviously. It's something, you know, I don't know sufficient about genes. I do a lot of reading and I'm going to study a lot and I want to be the best orator of sportsmen. I want to have great knowledge. I seek education. And I often say, why was I a world champion? A small guy coming from South Africa, which most people had never even heard of, one of the most incredible countries in the world. Why did I travel over here with 5 and 6 children, with my wife, who's been phenomenal, and travel 40 hours without jets, stopping 4 times to get here, making the sacrifices to become a world champion? For me, and people would laugh at this, some of them wouldn't. Mine is a divine intervention, I believe. Because I'm not that good. You just can't do that. With all the difficulties that I encountered and the hurdles that I had to overdo and overcome and get over, you just can't do it. I'm not that good.
So you believe
it's a divine intervention of some kind. Now, somebody might say, well, why would the Lord pick on you to be a champion? I don't know. I don't question him. I say, thank you, I am a champion. But I also had to work hard, and yes, I am an animal. And I'll give you a saying now, which is the greatest saying I've ever heard in my life, by Winston Churchill, who I believe is the greatest leader the world's ever known. And what he went through, hardly any leader has ever experienced what he went through. September 11 was dreadful, and it broke my heart. But he had that almost every week. Almost every week, bombing London, and your neighbor's there. Tomorrow there's no neighbor. There's a hole in the ground, and soldiers being annihilated in Dunkirk. And then you think of the people in Normandy, the young boys. I think of my grandchildren, my American grandchildren, who when they get to the age of 18, I say, these are the kids that died. So I got a little off my subject. So I am an animal when it comes to work, because I had nothing. So when I see I have an opportunity to do, the incentivization is there. And Winston Churchill said, I have lots of young boys and girls coming to me and saying, what do I do to become a champion? And I say, you know what made America was faith, family, and hard work. Disintegrating, by the way. Secondly, I say, listen to this saying and close your eyes and listen carefully. Winston Churchill said, the height that great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but while his opponents were sleeping, he was toiling upward in the night. And that's what I did. I outworked everybody. Look, I know a lot of athletes who worked hard, but I don't think there's ever been an athlete in the history of this world that has worked harder than me. Gym, food, sleeping, studying, traveling. I mean, to get on airplanes and travel around the world like I have. Arnold Palmer used to say to me, I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you do it. Because he traveled quite a bit, and so did Jack Nicklaus.
How did you do it?
Well,
you're still doing it.
That divine intervention. Huh? How did I do it? I mean, I work out. I'm 84. Man, look at this. I'm like a 20-year-old, man. You see? And I'm still... Feel that, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
And you see, I'm still trying.
I won't punch your stomach.
No, but look, I'm pleased I'm not married to you. You so fit, if I came home late, you'd knock hell out of me. So
I'm proud of my muscles.
You are in great shape. But what is...
But I agree with you, because I work out every day. I try to eat well. Mm-hmm. And I believe in exercise. As a young girl, I worked out every day, and I lettered in 16 different sports and played on the tennis team.
You won in 50,000 Americans that do that.
I was so athletic, and still am.
But, and what is, as I come back to, without being repetitive, the most important thing is your health. Look, I've been married 63 years, and my wife is not well now. She's very sick.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's terrible when you've been married for 63 years, and what a wife she's been. But the most cherished thing you have is your health. And people don't care a damn about their health. They don't. I've got 4 or 5 pounds here. It's irritating me so much. I haven't had breakfast for 12 days in a row. I've skipped a meal. I'm having 2 meals a day. I'm doing something about it. And if it doesn't go away, I'll have 1 meal a day. Because basically, you don't need more. People overeat to such an extent, it's frightening.
Can you talk a little bit more about Vivian? And 63 years, how do you keep a marriage going for 63 years? That's unbelievable.
I met my wife. Ladies would be very interested to hear a story like this. I lived in a very poor neighborhood, and there was a wall between my neighbor and myself. There was a rock there that I could stand on and talk to my neighbor. And my brother said, you should see this little girl come to visit our next door neighbor. And I stood on the rock, and I looked at her, and I said, Christopher, I'm going to marry that girl. What are you talking about? Well, I did. And we've been married for 63 years, and
you knew right there.
Isn't that amazing? See that divine intervention? And nobody could have had a better wife than me. Arnold, Jack, and I had the most perfect wives. I can't think of other players that I can say to the degree that we had. There are others. But we were always not like the average player. We were going away, and our lives were busy, extremely busy. And even today at 84, I mean, I'm so busy, and I work so hard, and that's what keeps you going. You've got to keep moving. Retirement is a death warrant. It's a death warrant.
Gary, having that special partner is so crucial to somebody's success, don't you think?
It's imperative, and I think back of Arnold, Jack, and myself. A lot of the guys have been divorced several times, some of them. But if you get the right partner, I can't help but it's a lot to do with being lucky. Because as you get married and there's that great honeymoon, it wears off the honeymoon. And now people change after 20 years, they change, and then after 40 years, they change again. So to last that long is, I suppose you can say it's luck, but luck is the residue of design. You've got to work at it. And I think that that's important to realize that you've took the vows, and that the only way you overcome all that is love, and by giving her and you receiving lots of love. And but again, you see, there's not enough of this taught around in schools again. I get very disenchanted with schooling systems around the world and what happens. I mean, most young people today, when you get married, most of them have been screwing around and doing all this kind of stuff. And if you get a good wife today, you better go on your hands and knees.
I think it's about morality.
Yeah, you've got to get on your hands and knees.
I think it's about having good morals and living a life with good morals.
Yeah, and so, you know, I don't want to sit here and try and be Mr. Perfect, because I'm not. I have my faults like everybody else does. But I do know when it comes to my marriage, and I know that Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, they adore their wives and vice versa. And blessed, you're blessed.